In this week's parasha, we read about the end of an era, where both the lives of Abraham and Sarah come to an end. We know they lived tremendous lives, they affected the world so much, and now the Torah describes their death. And the Torah uses the same terminology. Both Abraham and Sarah were buried in this week's parasha, uses the same terminology for both. Parasuk starts off saying, this is the life of Sarah. She lived 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. This is the life of Sarah. And Rashi brings, why does it keep saying years? 100 years, 20 years, 7 years, to tell us that when she was 100, she was like 20. When she was 20, she was like 7. And Shinei Chaye Sarah, all the lives of Sarah, the whole life of Sarah was Kulan Shavim Letova. All her years were good. Everything about her life was good. Then it says by Abraham, the end of the parasha, Abraham lived Me'ah Shana, V'Shivim Shana, Shanim, V'Chamesh Shana, Chamesh Shanim, sorry. It says Abraham lived 175. And Rashi says the same thing. When he was 100, he was like 70 in regards to sin. When he was 70, he was like 5. Same terminologies. And the Torah is testifying to the greatness of both of them, that they used all of their years properly. It says further on, Abraham zaken ba bayamim. Abraham was getting old and he was coming on with days. Ba bayamim. What does it mean, ba bayamim? He was coming with his days. So the Zohar says it means that he brought all of his days. When he was coming to the end of his life, he was dying, he used every single day of his life properly. Ba bayamim. He brought all of his days. There wasn't one day in Abraham's life that went to waste. Every day of life is a new gift. Hashem made it that we start off. We go to sleep, we wake up again fresh. Every day of life is supposed to be new and fresh. Things were just to keep going on. Someone has a problem, you go to sleep, you wake up, you start all over again, you start fresh. And every day we're supposed to start as new people. Every day there's something new to accomplish. And a person has to live their lives with this in mind. Not even to waste a single day. So it's a big test. Every day of a person's life has to be used properly. On the other hand, the Chazal tell us that we have an enemy. It says, Bechol yom vayom, Yitzro shel Adam mitgaber alav. Every day of a person's life, his evil inclination starts fighting him, tries to veer him off of the path. As much as we're supposed to use every day properly, there's a Yetzer Hara fighting us every day to go off the path. So in order to be able to fight it properly, we have to know the methodology that it uses, we have to know its strategies, the strategies of the Yetzer Hara, so we could combat it. The rabbi called the Shem Shimuel, he brings from the Zohar, says the essence of the Yetzer Hara can be found in Lot. Lot, we read a few weeks ago. The essence of the Yetzer Hara is Lot. What does that mean, Lot? So rabbi said, you know what Lot did? Lot had his shepherds take his animals to graze in other people's lands. But nobody wants to steal. So Lot's shepherds said like this. They said, really, the land belongs to us because Hashem promised the land to Abraham. And since Abraham has no children, it's going to go to me. So really, we're allowed to go take. But the Pasuk testifies, V'ha-kena'ani az ba'aretz. It's not yours yet. The Kena'anim are still there. But this, he says, we see from here that the essence of the Yetzer Hara is to rationalize. A person never makes a sin until they first say it's okay. You know what? It's probably okay. Because anyway, it's going to be my land. It's probably, it's mutar. It's okay. The Yetzer Hara could rationalize anything. Even the worst sins, really, everyone is good. All people are good people. Nobody wants to sin. The only way we sin is first we say it's probably allowed, and then we sin. Rabbi Waxman once said, in the episode with the meat in Muncie, where it was a guy selling taref meat, he says, how is it possible that you could have a person selling not kosher meat, and the person is the president of the yeshiva, the person is the chazan, the person blows the shofar. Imagine, what was he thinking on Yom Kippur and Ne'ilah? The final moments before the gates close. He knows tomorrow morning he's going to open up his store and he's going to sell taref meat for the holiday of Sukkot. And he's crying on Ne'ilah. How is it possible to live this contradiction? He says the only answer is the Yetzer Hara must have convinced him that it's allowed. How do you convince someone that this is allowed? Anything could be rationalized. You know what the guy probably thought? He said, well, all the Jewish people that are going to eat this meat, they don't know that it's not kosher. So they're what's called anus. It's beyond their control. They don't know. And if you do an avera that you don't know about, you don't get the punishment, you don't get a sin. So all these people that I'm feeding taref, they don't know that it's taref, so it's okay, there's no sin for them. So for me to feed it to them, it's also not a problem. I'm not making a stumbling block in front of people because there's no sin. And then he's going to say, but we know the rabbis tell us that the certain spiritual impurity comes over the soul, it's called timtum halev, from consuming non-kosher food. He says, but there's some opinions that say if you did it by accident, you don't get the spiritual impurity. So really, there's nothing wrong with it. They're not making a sin. I'm not making a sin. There's no spiritual impurity. And what? They think it's kosher and I'm selling them non-kosher, but it doesn't matter. And it tastes delicious, so they're getting what they paid for. And a person could rationalize even selling taref and mislabeling it as kosher. Because this is the essence of the Yetzer Hara. Nobody sins before they first allow it. And the Yetzer Hara could allow anything. So the first thing we need to know is how to fight this. How do we fight this? The rabbis tell us, they give us an insight. We're going to read, in the Chanukah Tabayit, we're going to read it tonight. It says, one of the blessings we give a man is that he shouldn't come home from a business trip and find his wife safek nida, doubtful nida. Shouldn't be a safek nida. So all the rabbis ask, what kind of blessing is this? Safek nida. It should have said when you come home from a business trip, you shouldn't find your wife for sure nida. Why does it say safek? So the rabbis say, because if she's for sure nida, that's it, it's over. I can't do anything. He's not going to have any yetzer hara. But once something is doubtful, you're not sure, is it allowed, isn't it allowed? That's when the Yetzer Hara can get, no, it's probably allowed. Only when you're in doubt could this rationalizing come into play. But if you know something for sure is no good, it's much easier to fight. This happens all the time with Lashon Hara. Talking, conversation with somebody, and you heard something, you want to tell them, you're not sure, is it allowed? No, you rationalize, well, I heard if it's public knowledge, it's allowed. I heard this, it's allowed. Since you didn't see it in black and white that it's not allowed, the Yetzer Hara could rationalize and say that it's allowed. So the first step is, you have to know more. You have to know the laws, you have to know what's allowed and what's not. And once you know, it's easier to fight. That's step one. Then there's another evil inclination that comes. Even if you know 100% that the item is bad, that it's not allowed, what's the next tactic? The Yetzer Hara comes and tells us, yeah, it's not allowed, but in this case, you're allowed to do it. In this instance, Hashem would want you to violate it. Why? What's so special about this instance? Well, under the circumstances, you know, I might cause embarrassment, I might do this, I might do that, and the Yetzer Hara will come to allow something because of the circumstances, and this is much harder to fight. A person could have a business deal, and there's a way for him to cheat and make a lot more money. He could say to himself, well, you know, Hashem gave me all these bills to pay, He gave me tuition, He gave me all... Maybe it's allowed in this case. And even though something's not allowed, you could rationalize, in this instance, it's okay. This requires tremendous strength. You have to know one rule. You can never lose from doing the right thing. We never lose from doing the right thing. Hashem came to Abraham in the end of last week's parasha and he told him, Kachna et bincha et yechidecha asher ahavta, take your son and slaughter him. Abraham was told a few weeks before, Ki bi Yitzchak yikare lecha zara. You are going to continue on in this world through Yitzchak. Abraham has a contradiction. You told me last time that Yitzchak is going to lead my legacy, and now you told me to slaughter him. What should I do? This would be very easy for Abraham to rationalize, or not even to say, maybe Hashem is testing me the other way, maybe He doesn't want me to listen to the second command. But Abraham Avinu rises to the, he says, if Hashem is saying it, He wants me to do it, and I cannot lose. If I follow Hashem, I will not lose. What does the Orach Chaim say here? The Orach Chaim says that Yitzchak was born without the ability to have children. He was sterile. And if Abraham wouldn't have done the Akedah, Yitzchak never would have had kids. But when Abraham brought Yitzchak on the altar and the knife came next to him, he says, Parha Nishmato, his soul left him, and Hashem sent down a new Neshama that had the ability to have children. So in the very same test that Abraham thought he's losing everything, he thought it's over, I'm giving up Klal Yisrael, in that very same test is what was his zechut to continue Klal Yisrael. Do the right thing and you will not lose. It's impossible. It looks difficult at the time, but we have to rise to the challenge. I know what's emet, I'm not going to do wrong, I'm going to do right. We're going to read in a few weeks from now, where Yaakov works for Rachel for 7 years. He saw in Ruach HaKodesh that she's going to produce the Shevatim. He saw she's going to be the mother of Klal Yisrael. And he works hard. He's finally ready for the wedding. And Lavan pulls the switcheroo. And now Rachel is confronted with a test. My sister's going to be embarrassed. On the other hand, Klal Yisrael, I'm supposed to be the mother of Klal Yisrael. The other person for her to available to marry is going to be Esav. Am I going to give up my whole spiritual life now to marry Esav? But my sisters are embarrassed. Who knows what's going to be in the future. Right now my sister's going to embarrass. Rachel was willing to give up everything in order that her sister shouldn't be embarrassed. The few Pesukim later say, Hashem remembered Rachel and she had children. What did He remember? Rashi says, He remembered that she gave over the signs. Meaning, Rachel was really akara, she was barren. Rachel was never going to have any children. It was only in the merit that she was willing to give up Yaakov that she was zoche to have children. Again, the same concept. In what appears to be detrimental to you, but you're doing the right thing, it looks like you're losing. Hashem says, no, it's impossible. Do the right thing and you will only gain. I read a story from the Baal Shem Tov. He says during his times there was these wealthy landowners that charged heavy taxes on the people for living in the land. And yet you had no choice, you had to pay. Jews, non-Jews alike, but they were extra hard on the Jews. They hated the Jews. And there was a situation where one time a Jewish family couldn't afford the yearly tax. It was 500 rubles. And the rule is you go to jail if you can't pay till you can pay. And there was a whole to-do, the whole town comes out, they see the whole family coming out in handcuffs, on their way to jail, the mother, the father, the kids. It was devastating. And they're asking, anybody could contribute? Oh, we can't even pay the taxes ourselves, we barely have enough money, no one could contribute. There was two people, there was a young couple waiting to get married. They were saving up money for the last couple of years in order to get married and buy an apartment. They had this amount saved up, 500 rubles. They were discussing it amongst themselves. They said, these people might be in jail for life. Who knows? I'm sure we'll get married someday. Let us give them the money. And it went against all of their strength. They used all of their strength and they gave the money and they saved the people from jail. The boy said to his fiance, he says, I have a wealthy relative who lives far away. Maybe we'll go travel to him. Maybe he'll help us. They're on the way. In the middle of the journey, they hear screaming. It's a boy who's trapped in quicksand and he's quickly sinking. And he's screaming for help. And the The guy runs over, takes my hand, and he starts falling in himself. He's in the quicksand, he's trying to pull him out, and the girl comes and they help him. And after a whole long, they finally get him out, they save the boy's life. Where do you live? We live down the lot. They take him to his parents. His parents were multi-millionaires. You saved our son's life. What could we ever do to repay you? He said, nothing. What are you doing here? We never saw you before. Oh, we're on our way. We gave 500 rubles. We're trying to get married. You're trying to get married? I'm going to give you a house. They gave him a house. He put him in business. And they gave him enough money to get married. You cannot lose for doing the right thing. It appears bad on the surface, but you always gain. That is the rule. When you make the right decision, you will always gain. And this requires a lot of emunah. Because you have to say, I know Hashem's watching me right now. Hashem sees, He sees how hard it is for me. And He knows what I'm going through. And I know Hashem's going to repay me. It requires a lot of emunah. We find tremendous emunah by Abraham Avinu. According to most Rishonim, last week the Akedah was the 10th test. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, burying Sarah was really the last test. Akedah was number 9, burial of Sarah was the 10th test. What was the test? It says, well, Abraham was promised the land of Israel. And Abraham now wants to go bury his wife. He wants just 6 feet of land. And he has to plead and beg with them to get a property. He has to pay a huge price. It says, Vayishtachu arta, he had to bow to them. This was his test. To try to purchase land that really belonged to him. And all the Mefarshim ask, how could this be harder than the Akedah? He just went through the greatest test of his life, almost sacrificing his son, and now he has to pay a few dollars for a burial plot. How could that be worse? And they all say the same idea. There's something called the hardest test, and there's something called the last test. What does it mean, the last test? The straw that could break the camel's back. Abraham is coming back from the most difficult situation he ever went through. He finally gets back, he hears that his wife just passed away. Lo aleinu, imagine the sorrow he's going through. And all he wants to do now is bury this tzaddiket. And the land is his, and now he has to go and haggle over price and pay tremendous amount of money for something that belongs to him already. You know what he could say? Hashem, give me a break. My whole life, I'm a Kadesh Shem Shamayim. All day long, every day, all I do is sanctify your name. At least, throw me a bone. Let me bury my wife in peace. I have to go through this now also. It's like you're helping someone out their whole life. You favor for them after favor. You ask them for one thing, and they're mean to you. That's what it could be like. I was telling somebody, I told this to somebody who learns in the morning by us. And he said, yeah. He says, I was learning last Friday. I learned the whole morning. I came outside to my car and I got a ticket. I said, what kind of business is this, Hashem? I came to learn Torah and I get a ticket. And this is what people get. It happens to us all the time. I'm so good. You know what I do? You know how hard I work? You know how hard it is for me to do what I do? And this happens? It's a difficult test. But Abraham says, if this is what happens, this is what Hashem wants now, I'm going to accept it with joy. I'm going to accept it bisimha. And Abraham paid a heavy price with a smile. Abraham was a prince. He paid what any amount they wanted. It says, Ove la socher. There's different calculations how much he paid. It was an exorbitant amount. And Abraham did it with a smile. Because if this is Ratzon Hashem, then this is what's best for me. And Abraham was able to pass this most difficult test. And Abraham passed this legacy on to his children and even his slave. We find later on in the parasha, how the Torah goes into great detail when Abraham sends out his slave Eliezer to go find a wife for his son Yitzchak. And the Torah tells the whole story twice, to the point where the Gemara says, Yafeh sichatan shel avde avot, Hashem enjoys the mundane speech of the slaves of the Avot, Yoter mitoratan shel banim, greater than the Torah of their children. When we learn out a law from the Torah, it's hinted to in an extra letter. When we try to, all different laws, halakha, moshe, mitzvah, that's not even written in the Torah. You know how hard it is to get a letter into the Torah? And Hashem writes pages and pages about the story of Eliezer finding a wife for Yitzchak. Why is there so much ink spilled on this parasha, number one? And if Hashem wants to tell us how much He enjoys the speech of the slaves of the Avot, why this story? You know how great Eliezer was? Eliezer served Abraham with Emunah his whole life. It says about Eliezer that he was dole umashke. He learned Torah from Abraham and he spread the Torah to others. Abraham had a yeshiva. He was constantly spreading the word of God, and Eliezer was his top student. Eliezer was almost, he was building himself up to be almost like Abraham. The Pasuk says about him, he was Moshel Bechol Ashelo, the rabbis say, he conquered his Yetzer Hara, he was in total control over his Yetzer Hara. The Pasuk hints to us how he went to war with Abraham to fight the four kings, he risked his life to go help Abraham fight the four kings, and it's a hint in the Torah. What is so special about this story of Eliezer, why Hashem says about this story, this is how much I love the Avdei Avot. So I saw an answer, the same answer in a few places. I heard it from Rabbi Waxman. I saw it in a book. Same answer given. It was time for Abraham to look for a shiduch for his son Yitzchak. There was nobody around. Everyone, the neighbors were Avdei Avodah Zarah. Who was number one in line? Who should be number one in line to marry into their family? None other than Eliezer. Eliezer had a daughter. And Eliezer told Abraham, he asked Abraham, maybe Yitzchak should marry my daughter? Eliezer, like we said, was on a high level. It seemed like a perfect match. Abraham tells Eliezer, Ad kan, I'm sorry Eliezer. My son is called Baruch, and you are called Arur. He came from Kenaan, Eliezer. Ve'en Baruch middabek ba'arur. I'm sorry, a blessed child cannot mix with an Arur. And he said, he's not for your daughter. Now imagine the blow that Eliezer just took. All he wanted was for his daughter to marry into a good family. He was so good, a faithful servant of Abraham. And Abraham turns him down and calls him an Arur. Some people could go into a depression from this. We had the best family. It was about, the match was so perfect. It was the greatest family, perfect match. And they tell us, oh, I'm sorry, no, you're not for us. It's a big blow. And Eliezer could have felt rejected and depressed. But what does it say right after? Eliezer goes and he says, Baruch Hashem Elokei Adoni Abraham, Eved Abraham Anochi. He goes and he goes and searches for a wife, even though he felt he should be the one, and he goes and he searches for the same thing from somebody else. It's like somebody tells you, he goes his whole, he's anticipating for me, and then he goes and does it with the same gusto for somebody else. As if nothing happened. He didn't feel rejected. Of course he felt rejected. He didn't show any rejection. And he goes and he prays. The Torah says how he prays, Hashem, please let me find the right one for Yitzchak. Who would do such a thing? You know, a guy might say, alright, I'll still talk to him. You know, I'll smile when I see him. But you want me now to go and help him? And Eliezer goes and he helps him. And this, Hashem says, if I'm going to show you, you know what I love? It's this ability to bounce back when you're hit with a blow, to rise to the challenge and move on. And that's what Eliezer did. This is the story that the Torah wants to depict to us about how much Hashem loves the service of the Avdei Avot. This is it. And from this ma'aseh, the rabbis tell us, he transformed himself from an Arur to a Baruch. He became blessed. In this story where he was called an Arur, because he accepted it with love, he got transformed into a Baruch. Now he's blessed. And this is the chinuch he got from his master Abraham. Whatever Hashem does is for my best. If this is the Ratzon Hashem, then I'm happy with it. If this is what Hashem wants, He doesn't want me to marry Yitzhak, I'm just as happy to go now and find somebody else for him. Gemara tells us that Nebuchadnezzar, the wicked Nebuchadnezzar, destroyed the Beit HaMikdash. He was once singing praises to Hashem. And the Gemara says that the praises were so great, they were going to put to shame the Tehillim of David HaMelech. So came along an angel and hit him on the face to stop him. So all the rabbis say, he's praying to God and you stop him with a hit on the face? What kind of business is that? Let him, if he wants to praise God, let him praise God. So the Kutzker Rebbe says, yeah, you know how to praise God, but let's see you get a slap on the face, now praise God. Let's see you praise after you get a after something happens to you. That's only by the Jews. The Jews are able to rise. David HaMelech is singing Tehillim after he's slapped in the face. Let's see if you could do that, Nebuchadnezzar. This is advice for our whole lives. Life is filled with ups and downs. And the ability for a person to pick himself up and move on, it's the greatest thing you could do for yourself. Eliezer was one of the only 7 people that ever went to Gan Eden alive. Now, we could practice this all on our own levels. Some people have small problems, some people have big problems. The Stipler once said, it doesn't matter the problem. Even if it's a small problem, it always takes the whole heart, it takes the whole mind. The other day, I came to the shul in the morning. I left my winter coat here overnight. I said, I'm sure it'll be here in the morning. I come the next morning, it's gone. I felt like I got a hit on my winter coat. I didn't want my winter coat. It wasn't the first time that it happened. Last year, I already left the winter coat in the old shul and I lost it. And now another winter coat. I said, I was consumed by this. For 10 minutes, I'm searching. Where's my winter coat? Did you see it? Did you see it? Should I put up a sign? And I couldn't concentrate. I'm going to learn it. I can't concentrate. I'm thinking, what am I doing? If this is what's meant to be, this is what's meant to be. It's from Hashem. But that initial reaction where I feel robbed. I felt like someone, you know, violated my personal stuff. And you can't think straight. You're totally consumed by a small thing. But it's a big thing. Baruch Hashem, I remembered later, I left it in a different shul. So I found it the next day and across the street. But it doesn't help. The worry doesn't help anyway. But if a person's able to say, that's it, this is Ratzon Hashem, I'm going to move on and concentrate just like I would have concentrated had the coat been there, it's the greatest blessing in your life. There's no greater life. One of the Hasidish Rebbe's once said, you have to be like a clock. What's a clock? He says, in the room, you could have a lot of commotion, you could have even a fire, there's crazy things going on. Everyone's heart's beating fast, people are running, moving. He says, but the clock just stays the same pace, ticking, normal, it doesn't get slower, it doesn't get faster. No matter what happens, I stay the same person. Another rabbi once said, that if a Jew accepts what Hashem sends him without questioning and without going into depression, he accomplishes more with that acceptance than any fast you could impose on yourself, any self-inflicted suffering, all that is meaningless. In one acceptance of a suffering, how much teshuvah it accomplishes, one acceptance, the smallest thing, if you say, it's from Hashem, I'm moving on. We don't know how much we accomplish with that acceptance. We mentioned before, it says about Sarah, Vayihiyu chaye Sarah, it says, Shenei chaye Sarah, she says that all of the life of Sarah was kulam shavim letovah. Every day of her life was good. Was it really good? She was barren for 90 years. She went through all the tests with Abraham. She was taken by Abimelech. She was taken by Paro. What do you mean her whole life was good? The answer is that in her mind, everything that happened to her was good. And she didn't feel any pain because if it's Ratzon Hashem, it's fine, I'm beautiful, everything's great. What could be the problem? And Kulan Lashmila, you can make it Kulan Shemilta, no matter what happens to you. It's not up to outside circumstances, up to yourself. The Gemara tells us there are a few pesukim that describe how a person should react when Hashem gives him whatever Hashem gives him. One pasuk says, "Kos Yeshuot Esa Uvshem Hashem Ekra." When I have a salvation, I call out the name of Hashem in praise. And another pasuk in Tehillim says, "Sara V'Yagon Emsa." And then it says, "Uvshem Hashem Ekra." When I find tragedy and I find trouble, the same reaction, "Uvshem Hashem Ekra." So a rabbi called the original Rebbe, he says there's a difference in the two pasukim. He says the first pasuk is all in the same pasuk. When you get good, it's very easy, "Uvshem Hashem Ekra." The other one is broken up. The "Sara V'Yagon Emsa" is the end of one pasuk. You need a pause. I have to think about it. I have to know. It's not automatic. It's me'et Hashem. I know Hashem loves me. Hashem is doing the best for me. And then, Uvshem Hashem Ekra. Hashem, you have a minute. You have a few minutes to think about it. But the ultimate result has to be, Uvshem Hashem Ekra. It takes work. This doesn't come easily. Person has to remember all the time, everything that happened is planned by Hashem. It's planned with the one who loves us so much. It's only for our benefit. The Gemara tells us a story. We all know the Gemara, of a man named Nachum Ish Gamzu. There was a Roman Caesar that was making evil decrees upon the Jews, and the Jews says, "We have to do something to help us. Let's send him a gift." They sent him a box of a treasure of all gold and silver. Maybe we'll bribe him, he'll be nice to us. Who are we going to send the treasure with? Let's send it with this guy, Nachum Ish Gamzu. Who's Nachum Ish Gamzu? Everything that happens to him in his life, he always says, "Gamzu l'tova." For sure it's going to get there the right way. Let's send it with him. He's on his way. We all know the story. He gets to an inn, stop overnight. He leaves the box in his room. The innkeeper sees that he has treasure on him. He sneaks into the night. He takes the treasure. He fills it up with dirt. The next day he gets to the king. He says, "Here, your highness, your majesty, we have a present from the Jews." He takes the present. He opens it up and he sees a box of dirt. And he says, "How dare you give this to me? What are you, mocking me? He's going to make a decree to wipe out all the Jews." What does Nachum Ish Gamzu say? "Gamzu l'tova. This is also good." Now, if a person has a small problem, maybe "Gamzu l'tova." The guy just said he's annihilating the Jews. "Gamzu l'tova." You say "Gamzu l'tova" when they say we're making a decree to annihilate the Jews? What kind of reaction is that? "Gamzu l'tova." Furthermore, we find by Rabbi Akiva, his student, Nachum Ish Gamzu had a student, Rabbi Akiva. Gemara in Masechet Berachot tells us a story with Rabbi Akiva. We also know this story. Rabbi Akiva was traveling one night and he was looking for a place to stay and nobody in the town gave him a place. So he says, "I'll sleep in the forest." And he had with him a donkey and he had a candle and he had a rooster. And came along a lion and ate up his donkey. He said, "Kol ma da'avid rahmana letav avid." Everything Hashem does is for the good. Then came a wind, blew out his candle, a cat ate up his rooster. Every time, whatever Hashem does is letav avid. The next day, he found out the town was robbed. If these things would have been there, he would have been so. Kol ma da'avid rahmana letav avid. Back to the story of Nachum Ish Gamzu. Eliyahu HaNavi comes down and he tells the king, "Maybe this is the famous dirt that Abraham Avinu used to fight the four kings." "What famous dirt? Try. I think the dirt might turn into arrows." He takes the dirt and he says, "We'll try it." He says, "We have an enemy that we can't defeat." He throws the dirt at him and they all turn into arrows. He says, "Wow, unbelievable. What a present. I'm going to reward you." He gave him back treasures of gold and silver. And he on his way back, he stops off at the same inn. The innkeepers say, "How'd you get back? What'd you do?" He says, "I gave him the special dirt. Wow, we have this dirt in our backyard." They went, they brought the same dirt to the king. The king threw it didn't work, and he offered the head. So one of the rabbis asks, what is the difference in terminology between what the rabbi used? The rabbi said, "Gamzu l'tova," and what the student used, Rabbi Akiva. Everything Hashem does is for the best. Why did one rabbi say "Gamzu l'tova" and the other one says whatever Hashem does is for the best? So the Etz Yosef has an answer. He says, you know what Gamzu L'Tovah means? Gamzu L'Tovah means, right now I see this is good. This is good right now. I see it good. It has to be good. And that's why you could say Gamzu L'Tovah, even if the Jews are there's a decree against them, because nothing Hashem does is bad. This is good. The other level is a lower level. Whatever Hashem does, I know that Hashem has a cheshbon, I know He has His reasons, I don't see the good now, but I know something eventually good is going to come out of it. But Gamzu L'Tovah is the highest level, that right now it's good. And when you have that faith, you will see the good in that what appears to be bad. And that very same dirt that appeared to be bad turns into good. That's the highest level of emunah, that I see the good right now. Rabbi Waxman gave a different explanation. He says, you know what Gamzu L'Tovah means? Gamzu L'Tovah. He says, this will also lead to a Tovah. Many times he says, Hashem has a blessing in store for people. He wants to give a person a blessing. Either they don't deserve it, but first they have to undergo a certain suffering, and then the blessing will come out. And Gamzu, this, what appears to be a tragedy, will lead to Tovah. There was a story of a rabbi, of a businessman. He was a wealthy man. He gave tzedakah. Everything he does was always with a smile, and he lost all his money. And people were all saying in the community, how could such a thing happen? It's not fair. And they asked the rabbi. The rabbi said, don't worry. We don't see right now. Hashem does this for the best. This wealthy man, he couldn't get a job. He went and sat down in the yeshiva, and he started learning Torah. And they saw that he had such a mind, he had such a head. He became a great rabbi. And he had a son who became even greater rabbi, and his last name was Soloveitchik. And he produced one of the greatest dynasties that the Jewish people ever saw. Hashem had in mind for this rabbi to produce a dynasty of Torah. First he had to undergo a suffering, you had to lose your business. But right after comes good. Someone was telling me a story, they called me up this week. They said, Rabbi, I have a bitachon story for you. I said, great, what's the story? He said, I've been debating whether I should leave my business and I wanted to start my own thing. So I'm going back and forth with it in my mind for the last year. I finally decided I'm going to do it. He says, I'm so nervous. I wrote a 30-page business plan and I'm going to present it to people and try to get partners and investors. He said, I finally finished working on it. I was so excited. I called one of my relatives who I thought for sure he's going to be my number one supporter. I called him up. He tells me, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't think you should leave. I'm not. And he wasn't interested. He said, I felt so horrible. He says, I couldn't sit and work. He was in the middle of his work day. He says, I had to go for a walk. He says, he goes for a walk. He goes into Starbucks coffee. So they never went into this place in my life. Okay, he goes into Starbucks coffee. He's online. He's waiting there, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, taking a long time. There's a Syrian in front of him. He says, does it always take this long? He says, no, it never takes this long, but don't worry, the line's going to move. Another 5 minutes, he gets his coffee, finishes. He says, the second he walks out of the building, a guy comes walking right by him, and he bumps into him, he says, hey, how are you? He says, this guy helped somebody else that he knows start a business 3 years ago. So the guy tells him, he says, you know, he says, does that person still need investors? Because I know somebody who just lost his job. He has a lot of money and he wants to invest right away with somebody. He says, well, no, he's doing very well, but I think I could use it. He says, you, wow, perfect. I have a guy who's dying to call him up. Here's his number. Boom. He says, he says, someone came up to him. Do you need money? Here, I have someone who's going to help you get money. Straight from Shamayim. First, but what's happened? First, you had to have a suffering. It felt bad, a pinch. But right after, the salvation comes. It says about Abraham Avinu. It says, Asara nisyonot nitnase Abraham lehodia chibato shel Abraham. It says in Pirkei Avot, Hashem tested Abraham with 10 tests to show how much Abraham loves Hashem. But some read it other a different way, not to show how much Abraham loved Hashem. The Chida, the Chatam Sofer says, to show how much Hashem loves Abraham. What does that mean? I'm testing you to show you how much I love you? And they say the same thing. They say that Hashem wanted to give Abraham a present. He wanted Abraham to start the Jewish people. He wanted him to be the leader of Klal Yisrael. But he said, the angels in Shamayim were mikatreg. They said, who is Abraham? Why is he worthy? Why is he worthy to start the Jewish people? Hashem says, you want to see who he is? First he has to prove him. And Hashem gave him these tests just to give him the present. Because he loves him so much, I want you to be the leader, but you have to undergo a few tests first before you can get the present. It's in the merit of the acceptance when Abraham passed, that's what got him all the blessings. When we accept the difficulties, it brings the blessings. Abraham came to eulogize his wife Sarah. What was the eulogy that he said on Sarah? The Midrash tells us. He said, Eshet Chayil. That was what he eulogized his wife with. And there's a pasuk in Eshet Chayil. It says, Vatakom be'od laila, vatiten teref lebeta. Literally it means, the woman of valor, she wakes up at night, and she provides food for her children. My wife told me that they said this over at the funeral of a very righteous lady, Rebbetzin Bronstein, said when she was sick, she couldn't sleep at night. So she said she used to get up in the middle of the night and she used to make cupcakes and brownies for her children. Batakom be'od laila, she gets up at night and she provides for her children. But a different interpretation could be, also from the Rishna Rebbe, he said, Batakom be'od laila, when it's night and you see difficulties, night represents difficulties. Vatakom be'od laila, somebody could rise up when it's still night and they say, I'm going to move on. Vatakom, I get up. In that merit, vatiten teref lebeta, in that merit, a woman is able to provide sustenance for her children. That's the blessing comes from vatakom be'od laila, from getting up in the dark. When it's still dark and you say, I know Hashem wants my best, I'm going to do it anyway, I'm going to continue. That brings the blessing. It says in the Haggadah, it says, Yachol Mirosh Chodesh. You might think that we should start saying the Haggadah, we have the mitzvah of reciting the Haggadah on Pesach from Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Talmud Lomar Bayom Ahu. Pasuk says, no, start it, say it on the day of the 14th of Nisan. You might have thought if it just said that, you should do it Mibeod Yom while it's still day. Talmud Lomar, no, only when the matzah and maror are in front of you, do it at night when the maror is in front of you. So one of the rabbis says, you know what this means? It says a person says to himself, I want to start over. I want to start fresh. I want to be good. But you know what? I'm going to wait for Rosh Chodesh. Rosh Chodesh, it's going to start. I'll start fresh again. Comes the pasuk and says, you might think you should wait till Rosh Chodesh. Talmud Lomar, no, bayom ahu, right now. Start right now. Pick it up right now. Get better now. And it says, Yachol mibe'od yom, you might think, well, only while it's daylight, only while it's good, while things are happening good. Talmud Lomar, no, do it while the maror is in front of you. Do it while it's still bitter. Even when it appears to be bitter now, that's when you have to get up. When you get up, when it's bitter and you become good, that's what's going to bring you the blessing. I know a man, Lo Aleinu, he lost his business, he's in tremendous suffering. He used to learn with me, and he told me he can't come to class anymore. He's so preoccupied, he can't sleep at night, he can't come. It's very difficult. People have very difficult situations, and you can't blame anyone. It's hard for a person to get up and preach and say, you know, get over it. It's impossible. You can't preach to somebody. They'll say, you know what, let's see how you react in this situation, Lo Aleinu. You can never preach to someone, but what the rabbis are telling us is, you want blessing, vatakom be'od laila. Don't wait for it to pass. It might, who knows when it's going to pass? You want the blessing? Batakom, get up now, while it's bad, while you think it's bad. Batakom be'olayla, that's going to bring the blessing. The Yismach Yisrael says the main part of a mitzvah, when you do a mitzvah, you know what Hashem really wants? He wants you to throw away all of your worries. He wants you to do avodat Hashem with worry free. He wants you to enjoy the mitzvot. And he says, this avodah, that you are able to put everything aside and serve him, He doesn't even get this from the angels. This is the greatest service you could do for God. Someone once told the Khatam Sofer, "Your rabbi, he's like an angel." The Khatam Sofer says, "That's an insult. I never saw any angel as great as my rabbi." Because he says, when my rabbi, Lo Aleno, he lost his daughter, he says, he accepted it with like iron clad. He was a rock. And when Abraham was about to slaughter Yitzhak, all the angels were crying, "My rabbi is greater than an angel." The angels cannot give Hashem this enjoyment of rising to the challenge. If a person is able to say, "You know what? It's all from Hashem. Let's enjoy the Shabbat now. Forget about it. Let's enjoy the holiday. Let's enjoy what we have." It's the greatest service you could do for Hashem, and it brings the beracha. Vatakom bi'od layla. We have to get up while it's still night. It's a difficult challenge it's a difficult avodah to do. But in this merit, again, it's not have to be big challenges, it's small challenges, anything. Just to say, it's me'et Hashem, Hashem loves me, He's doing it for my best. This is the greatest service we could do. Hashem should only show everyone blessing and all good always throughout our whole lives. Amen.